How you guys doing? Good?
Good.
Have a nice week? Last week? Like, nice week? This week already? Just one day is good. 2 days are better. I would love to sit in a week and just sit there and listen. I would. I think that'd be awesome. I think to utilize this time, man, that you guys have, like, completely, and make sure that you're just in a place of amazing receiving. It's a very special time. Like, incredible. Incredible. Dan's got a lot to bring, and it's all on identity. We found that, like, wherever we go, it's kind of neat, because when I grow up, I want to be like Dan. And, you know, he's my dad. And he always told me to go after righteousness with all my heart, with everything. And I didn't get the chance to sit like you guys are. I didn't get to sit every day and for hours a day and listen to Dan. I would go, you know, to meetings and stuff, and I would listen, but I didn't have that. And I'm not, like, saying I'm jealous. I'm not. But what it did was he pointed me into the righteousness direction. And by doing that, he enabled me to enter into my relationship with God, to where my identity won't be moved. Because when Dan saw this, he went after righteousness. He went after that. That's the focus and forefront of everything. Because righteousness is right standing with God, to where no matter what situation you go in, your identity won't be shaken. Because the storms come to both, right? Come to the ones that are founded on the rock and the ones that are founded on the sand. But righteousness enables you to bear up under situations that normally would have the world completely flipped out and freaked out, normally have the church freaked out. And right standing will keep you in that place, to where it doesn't matter what comes against you, God's for you. No matter what comes against you, greater is He that's in you. No matter what comes against you, no matter what accusation comes, because you can't allow the circumstances of your life to dominate what Christ is in you, or what you've learned who you are in Christ. Because who you are in Him allows you to die to you, but who He is in you allows you to live unto Him, which kills you. So who He is in us allows us to live unto Him. And when we live unto Him, it kills us. But who we are in Him allows us to die to us. Because when we really see Him for who He is, it just kills us. And we can no longer live. Alright? Make sense a little?
Yeah.
I'll try to make more sense as we go. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. But so we'll just go with it. Yeah, I just came from doing a conference with, if I were to say, out of everybody in Dan's life, who would be his mentor, it would be David Hogan. It's somebody that, from the beginning, he's just been after it. And David is a different kind of breed. He's probably the most intense individual I've ever met in my life. He really is, man. But then he's been shot and whipped and stoned and stabbed and drugged behind vehicles and almost drowned and thrown off of banks into rivers. And he bears in his body the marks of the gospel, like for real. And just to listen to some of the testimonies, I just like, my God. But this same Christ that is in us, that's healing a headache, is putting brain back together. The same Christ that, like, that we see, like, heal somebody's shoulder that's hurting, is the same Christ that's raising over 500 people from the dead. And I need to see that, man. Not just need to see the dead raised, but I need to see that it's the same. Because a lot of times we're in situations, we're in circumstances that are bigger than the God we know, And all of a sudden, our mind takes on this thing because our eye gate looks at something and sees it as bigger than what something else was, but really it's not. It doesn't take more God to do one. It takes less of us to do each. So it's growing in this thing and growing in intimacy and growing in a place where you will not be moved. Because there's some intense stuff that comes our way, man. Even if it's like the closest one to you not being very nice. You know, and don't point at your wife or your husband. Because you might be the one that's not very nice. Because you might respond the wrong way. And then all of a sudden a seed, like you're, it's just it's a rattling thing where I believe there's two kinds of vine dressers. I believe the first kind of vine dresser says, God says, I'm the gardener, right? Jesus said, my Father is the vine dresser. But also in Song of Solomon, it says that there are foxes that spoil the grapes. It says there are foxes that spoil the grapes. In other words, they come to snatch up fruit. And sometimes, like, when our identity is not solid, all of a sudden, we can partner with a fox. But as our identity gets stronger and stronger and stronger, we see the fox, we understand the fox, and we want to partner with the vine dresser. So when that thing comes up, we invite the vine dresser in, the true one, to clip that thing out so that it never happens again. But as we grow with God, what happens is we get closer to Him and we say, Father, that's not you. I thank you, Lord. That's not who you created me to be. And all of a sudden, He snips that thing so that your response is different next time. It's very important. I've learned this personally in my life, just growing with my wife, growing in our lives, you know, and to not respond the same way again. And it's big time. It's real important because a lot of times, not even your wife, but like relatives, people that are close to you, that you love the most, that you want to see them get it the most. You're like, gosh, this is my mom. This is my mom, and she's not seeing this, and I really want to get it across to her. Well, the best way for you to get it across to her is preach the gospel, and if you have to use words. Yeah.
My whole family is Catholic, and it's very difficult to even talk about the gospel with them because they kind of shut me off and put a wall up.
Yeah.
So I don't get to socialize with them.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they're saved, first off. Because a lot of times we think that if you're Catholic, you're not saved. And we gotta, because that's like a thing where we want to talk them into believing our way to get them saved. And we got to be really careful because if you would ask them if they believe that Jesus is Lord, they would pretty much probably tell you, yeah. Right on. And by confession of that, that means they're already saved. So that point right there, we got to be really careful because we attack that point because we've been taught in evangelical zeal. And when I said that I'm thankful that they're already saved, we've been taught that if they're Catholic, they're not. But the Bible teaches that if they believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, then they are. So we've just got to be careful about going after that thing, trying to get them to pray our born-again prayer instead of walking in love towards them. And I'm not saying you're not. I'm telling you that that's the privilege of a born-again believer having 30, 60, 100-fold fruit that's able to bear witness of what kind of tree you are. Does that make sense? You got another one?
To say that, as my Catholic experience goes, that I really realized that I was first saved when I went to my first confession, when I really felt that God had forgiven me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, definitely they don't teach it, per se, salvation. That was my beginning point of my
sinfulness. Yeah. Good. Good. He was saying that he realized he was first saved at his first confession. You were Catholic, right? Okay. So we want to be careful about how we go after denominations and different things. We want to, because this thing is, we got to be really careful. Because as I was hanging out with Brother David, he's intense, man. He's just like, I can't, that's probably not the right word to use. He's amazing. I put on the Facebook, I don't really comment too much on there. When I grow up, I want to be just like Brother Hogan. I just do, man. To be able to look at can you imagine being able to look at somebody in their face that you just watch shift from a wolf into a person? Like right in front of your eyes. Like not playing around, but for real. Like, and they're right in front of you and bumping heads with them and commanded it in Jesus to stop and them dropping and getting born again. I can't even, do you know what I mean? You know how it says, you know, God will never put you in a situation that you're not ready for? Like the word pretty much says that. You don't face anything you're not ready for. God hasn't put you into a fight that you're not ready for. Hasn't put you into a battle you're not ready for. Like no temptation, no thing has seized you except that, you know, what your brother in her temptation, and it's not like beyond what you can bear. Because God will give you a way out. The way out is to thump that thing. It blows me away. So I'm kind of like in awe just listening to this stuff and saying, God, come on, do it in me. Do you know when you ask him to do it in you, do you know that situations come to help you? That's no joke. So we say, you know, be careful what you ask for. Honestly, this thing doesn't grow in you except by trial. So what I've learned is everything in our life in Christianity, Christian maturity is built in the trial. So when you have stuff come your way, it comes your way, but the trial hasn't come your way unless God's prepped you for the trial. So nothing has come your way that you're not able to deal with because God has equipped you completely for it. It just depends upon having your mind on that or your mind on Him. And so we face situations, whether it's with family, whether it's with people, whether it's in situations where you are just thrown in one, whether, no matter what, God's equipped you completely for it. That's why we pound identity so hard so we know who we are in the midst of that thing. Because what happens is, see, mind renewal is crucial in the kingdom. It's actually the forefront. It's the foundational thing in this thing. Without your mind renewed, I think we talked about it a little bit last time I was here. The carnality of man versus it's at war against God and your divine nature, which God's been showing me that you're not a partaker of any of the precious promises except through the divine nature. So you can try to adapt and adopt promises through your carnal nature and never see them. Because you're a partaker of the divine nature. And then through that, you're a partaker of the precious promises. So God's given you His divine nature, and through that, you're a partaker of precious promises. But trying to adopt and adapt, or trying to incorporate precious promises in your life without understanding who you really are, the promises fall short. And they don't fall short, but we fall short of the promises because we're trying to bring them in as a way that seems right to a man. And a lot of times, hold on. And a lot of times what we're trying to do is we're trying to reach for the promise apart from our divine nature. And we're trying to incorporate it in, sometimes even for the blessing, apart from a life's transformation. Does that make sense? I'm talking about seed, and we're going to go deeper into it because this is powerful, because the kingdom is all seed. This whole thing is seed. Like, it blows me away. My little daughter, Zoe, she gave me this yesterday. We were out there. We were out in the yard, and I was mowing. And Zoe was, like, doing her little thing, running around the yard and stuff. And I'm learning about seed. I'm learning about the power of seed. And God's just got me in that place. He's had me in that place for a little while. But it's way more powerful than we give it credit for. Because we love fruit and we love the fruit and we want the fruit, but you can't have the fruit unless you have the plant that comes from the seed. Because the seed is what produces the plant in which grows into a tree in which produces the fruit. And the process through life and the trials that we go through in life is actually, it produces the perseverance or the patience in your life, which produces the character. And if I look at that, like the trial, when the seed is in the right place, the trial, the patience that you have is to allow that thing to grow. And the character is awesome because the character produces like the fruit that comes. And the hope is like, look at all my fruit. It's not to say, look at me, but look at all the fruit that came from the kingdom seed that was in my life. It was the process. My daughter, Zoe, is just, I'm just learning about this, right? And God knows where I'm at, you know, and I'm like growing. And remember Dan, like he's shared the acorn thing before. And I'm like, oh, that was awesome. Like no acorn forest came unless there was acorns. And then one tree came, there was one tree and then it had acorns and then squirrels went and buried them everywhere. And then all of a sudden you had an acorn forest. Right? And it was like, wow, that was awesome. And I remember always like, that was cool because I heard that in the beginning of my life. Are you guys okay? Because I'm just kind of talking and just chilling. All right. Not that I'm worn out. I love to be able to come to my home and just relax, man, because you're my peeps, you know? It's just different. It's different when you're at your home church and it's different when you're out somewhere because this is like everybody's my family. But this is like the inner circle, like of my family, you know, cause so it's different. And yes, if you're brand new at the school, you're in the inner circle. It's like a Peter, James, and John kind of thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like Jesus took those, he took them everywhere. But Zoe comes up to me and she goes, Dad, look. And I said, yeah, that's an acorn. And she flipped it and she said, Dad, look. And it's an acorn that a tree started to come out of. And I just like, oh, thank you, God. You know, and Zoe's like, what, Daddy? I said, and I got to sit there and explain to her, because across the street are these humongous trees that come from this little seed. And so she looked at it. She goes, there's a tree in there, Daddy. That's powerful to me. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding me. She got it. Like, she got it. Like, Zoe, teach me lay hands on Daddy. I've never seen that. I've seen millions of acorns. I've never seen a tree grown out of one. She picked the one that had one. If you guys want to pass it around, just check it out. To me, it's fascinating.
This is the one she
picked up.
It's just a sprout now.
It's a sprout. Yeah, it's a tree. She saw a tree in it. I think that's so cool. I'm blown away by this, and I'm learning this thing as a little kid, and I'm growing, and I'm learning, and it's through the trial and stuff that I learn. But when the trial comes, do you know that it's impossible to count it all joy? Do you have one too, with a tree out of it?
No, I have one that the Holy Spirit gave to me a year ago.
Hasn't sprouted yet?
No.
I don't know if it was the Holy Spirit, brother. I'm just kidding.
It has to do with identity.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because the Holy Spirit directed that message to me that what do you see? How do you see that God created that thing for? And I looked around and I saw a little school. And I said, well, I guess you know, if it gives a school food. And the Holy Spirit said, well, yeah, I can do that, but what do you think God, Father God created it for? And I looked around and I said, well, the tree that it fell out of is a pretty good sized tree, you know. I said, yeah, you know, if I took it over and planted it, it would become another tree. And I thought I was on the right track. And the Holy Spirit said, just gaze upon it. And can you see what Daddy created it to be? And I said, well, I don't know. I guess not seeing that. He said, can you see a forest?
Yeah.
In that
forest.
God created this to be a forest.
Right.
And he can only see it as a forest.
Right. Wow.
And I said, wow, I went down on my knees. I just began to weep.
That's good.
And the Spirit says, now, can you see that being you in Daddy's hands?
That's good.
Good work.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Gaze upon that until you can see that being you held in Daddy's hands.
That's good.
And he can only see you in the full created value that he
has. Wow, that's good.
Awesome. And so ever since then, I carry this in my
That's good.
That's awesome. You stole my stuff you have done. No, because this is perfect. It's perfect because my next thing was that there's a forest in the acorn. And that's perfect. That's perfect. But it starts with that, and then it goes to that, and then all of a sudden it grows up, and then all of a sudden all these acorns and all this stuff is, you know what I mean? And that's it, man. That's powerful.
Remember, that's not on the tape, so you can tell your story.
Oh, no, I will. He just said that God had had him. He had an acorn, and he asked him, you know, he thought he knew what it was, and God told him, there's a forest in the acorn. I want to tell you this, that like, as I'm growing in this, as I'm growing in God, I'm learning that everything in kingdom is seed, and it's powerful. See, when I was a drug addict and an atheist, and I came in and I saw Dan, and he taught me about righteousness. He told me about righteousness. And I sought this thing in the secret place. I went out here. Let's go. Let's go to Matthew 5 and just touch some things. Guys, I want to tell you, this is so powerful. It's actually, it's just ridiculous, man. Listen, I'm going to read to you out of my phone. Because I found the iPhone, I can get all these translations on here. In Matthew 5, 6, listen, just listen to this, because I have the loud version. So it's the Amplified. It's loud. It says, blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous in that state in which the born-again child of God enjoys his favor and salvation are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with God, for they shall be completely satisfied. I really like that. It's Matthew 5, 6, and it talks about being blessed. So being blessed is to be happy. Happy and fortunate. It says, blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous in that state in which the born-again child of God enjoys his favor and salvation are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for uprightness, and standing with God, for they shall be completely satisfied. It means that everything comes in righteousness. Like everything that you are comes in that. And so I didn't understand any of that, so I destroyed everyone's life around me, including my family, my immediate family, but also my extended family. And all of them pointed fingers and 'cause I was the hell child. I was the open freight train for the kingdom of hell. I destroyed everything. And so nobody, and when they prayed for me, it was to get me out of hell. Don't let him go to hell, God. Don't let him go to hell. Get him out. And that's okay, but that's all they knew. So that's great, because I'm supposed to get out of hell now. So I don't have to like live like hell, because you can even be a Christian, but go through hell till you get to heaven and have the wrong perspective and have the wrong eye, your eye not being single, and just be twisted up and messed up. And when I met Dan that day that I was suicidal, when I went into the church and my girlfriend and my daughter she had taken her and left. And when I met Dan, I was suicidal. I was going to blow my brains out. And I passed a phone book and made a check and went to Dan. Out of all the 586 churches, Dan's the one I went to. And I didn't even go to him. I just walked in the back and he goes, hey, buddy. See, you don't know Dan like I know Dan. Like, we stay in hotels together, and sometimes I'll be praying and for people in my sleep, and just crazy, dude. I'll be up walking around praying for people in my sleep. And Dan is in my room sleeping. And I'll be there preaching the gospel to Dan as he's sleeping. Because I believe that this thing never turns off. I believe that in my sleep, when I'm preaching the gospel, I'm actually places. I believe that with all my heart. I've woken up with sore legs in the morning because I've walked a mountain. And I've seen people healed in a village. And I believe when I wake up and my legs are sore, it's because I was really there. And think what you want. I'm the one that believes I was there. So you can't take that from me. You just can't. Because we can't touch enough people during the day. So I got all night and Holy Spirit never sleeps. So I just tell them, it's on. Man, I'm here and come on. Because I'll be completely rested by morning. Let's do it. So I'm beside the bed. And Dan's like, what's up, buddy? In the middle of the night, 3:30 in the morning. And And I kind of woke up a little bit and I'm in the bathroom and I come back out and I go to bed in the morning. He goes, were you beside my bed preaching last night? I'm so serious, man. You just have no idea. This thing doesn't turn off. It's all the time. It's constant. I perfect love in my wife too because of that. Preacher. Honey, wake up. You're dreaming. Oh, no. And I'm back. No. No. I went into the church and it was kind of cool. I'm going to continue and where I'm at. Are you guys okay with this? Yeah. See, I believe that. See, God shared with me this weekend. He said that every part of the Bible that you've ever read, there's a testimony to back up every verse in your life that you've walked out. Every part of the Bible that I've ever read, there's a testimony in my life that validates that word. And that word validates my testimony. So he said, Todd, I have given you a life, told me this weekend, I have given you a life message. You are a message. In other words, everywhere I read, see, I don't read that to just study it. To read that and study to show yourself approved, the only one you show yourself approved by is God, and it's to approve what the will of God is. But the only way you can approve it is that you hear and do. And so you hear the word and do it. So immediately when you hear it, you must walk it out. So that's all I've known since day one, is hear it and apply it. Hear it and apply it. Hear it and apply it. So, but when I met Dan, he taught me about righteousness. When I went to the church that day, he just shared with me about righteousness, and I told him who I wasn't. And he wouldn't listen. He did, but he didn't. Like, do you hear what I'm saying, dude? He's like, yeah, I do. And I listened to what Jesus did. And I'm like, because I didn't feel like he was, what I wanted was pity. I didn't even know it. I was angry, but I wanted him to, woe is me. There is no woe is me. It's, blessed are you. Listen. It's not listen to my problem and pity me. It's listen to my issue, but hear what God's saying so that you can be blessed instead of woed. See, God doesn't think of this thing like we think of this thing. Yes, he understands. Yes, Jesus was tempted at all points. Yes, he understands exactly what you're going through. But his perspective is completely different, and this will produce amazing fruit in your life. Does that make sense at all? So Dan started me with that. I'm like, okay, this is crazy. Okay, I'll pray this prayer. And it wasn't just to like pray a prayer and get my name written. It was like to put off an old nature.
Sorry, brother.
To put off an old nature and to take on a... Now it won't grow. No, I'm just kidding. You couldn't stop it from growing. Plus, it's been fertilized by all your hands. That thing's on. Come on.
So like he would talk to me and he'd tell me this, and I prayed this prayer and I went home, and drug addiction got really worse, man. And like for 5.5 months it got, and now I was conscious of it because a seed had gone in and my conscience had like taken on something new. And now where it didn't bother me before completely bothered me now. Like it didn't bother me to the point where there was no way to change. There was no hope. But now it bothered me because I knew there was hope, but I had no idea how to attain it. Like I would call him all the time. Dude, I did it again. Dude, I did it again. I'd call him 4 times a week. I was out smoking crack again. I was out doing it again. I was out doing it again. I'd lie to my daughter again and again and again and again. Daddy will never do it again. Daddy's a Christian now. Daddy will never do it again. Daddy's a Christian now. Daddy will never do it again. All the time. I'd lie to my girlfriend and tell her, look, I found God. I found God. I found God. I found God. I'm out. Found God. I'm out. And I'd call all the time because I knew that it was wrong, but I had no idea. What I didn't understand was for 5.5 months, I never got in that Bible. Except for on Saturday, I went to your Christian fellowship to the Transformers class, and that one scripture, they kept hitting and hitting and hitting. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? So that I can approve the will of God. And somehow that seed that I was learning at Transformers class and what Dan was doing, it was sowing and watering. And this thing was being birthed inside of me. And it was really small and you couldn't even see it. The only thing you could see is my godly sorrow. Cause it was regret, but it was godly sorrow too. I just didn't understand the power of godly sorrow versus the power of regret. Cause regret produces death. You can't be in that place. So you have to go from that place to godly sorrow because godly sorrow produces repentance. Right? So I was learning that, the process of growing in that seed, man, growing in that place. So now I have a whole family that I've trashed and hurt and destroyed. So now here's what happened. Here's what's happened. My life now, October, right now is 6 years. Like right now. Like this is my 6 year anniversary. Like with my wife, the 24th will be our anniversary. And then also in Christ, in my brand new creation reality, it's my sixth birthday. And it's growing stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And what I'm realizing is that this is the foundation of this kingdom that we're in. The new creation reality. The never look back. We talk about that. We pound that thing. Man, every time we do a power in love, we pound never look back ever because it destroys you when a voice from the past tries to whisper into your present tense. You're asking a spirit of offense to come and bear dead fruit in your life if you don't believe the gospel's real. See, I'm not recycled.
That's right.
I'm not recycled. God didn't just refurbish me and recycle me. Like he rebuilt the very foundation of my life. And that foundation is founded and grounded in righteousness. That's the foundational thing. It's foundational in righteousness, right standing with God. He didn't recycle me and just make me a better person. If that would be great, but that would mean that I could be a better person. I'd still have some junk left that needs to be bettered too. Or he could have made me a brand new creation where he didn't make me a better person. He made me a brand new person. But now there's this thing, I've got all these people that I've wronged and I've hurt, or I've debated with, or whatever, and now I have to walk this thing out so they can actually see that this is a reality in walk, not in talk. So the power of seed. I went in to the church suicidal and met Dan. 5.5 months later, I'm worse off than I was when I went in there because now I'm conscious of the drug addiction and it's way worse. I get shot at that night in York. I go to Teen Challenge. I come out of Teen Challenge. And in 6 years, I've literally touched thousands and thousands and thousands of people and watched thousands and thousands of people be transformed back into a brand new creation. One that's better than the first Adam. See, the first Adam was God's plan, but the second Adam was God's plan. See, in Genesis 3, he said, I'll put enmity against your seed and her seed. His heel will, you're going to bruise it, but he's going to crush your head. So it prophesied in Genesis 3, right after the fall, that it's supposed to be a horn, and it's going to come through Jesus. And now through Jesus, that's you, that's your heritage, that's your inheritance. The second Adam is way more powerful. So we could say that I'm standing in the garden as if I've never eaten the tree, which is true. But we have way better than the first Adam, because we're a brand new creation, one that God dwells in, not just walks with. Is this making sense at all? Kinda. You guys look good. You do. You're the greatest. You are like God's elect. You're the best he's got. The best he's got. I gotta come here. The best he's got. So your life, see, my life is producing for us. Because a seed was put in there. And then all of a sudden, the righteousness of God. See, you're a tree, the planting of the Lord, a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. So in Isaiah 61, it says that you're a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that your roots go down deep into His. What do your roots go down deep into? His love. His word is true, but His love is more true. Get it? So we could say our roots go down deep into His word, which is true, but you can go down into the word and it be letter and not give you any sap. Or your roots could go down deep into His marvelous love. You could know the love of God, which is to be filled with the fullness of God. And the fullness of God is almost like the sap that's inside of you that produces its fruit unto holiness. But righteousness produces its fruit unto holiness in Romans 6. So the tree of righteousness produces holy fruit. And what kind of seed is in holy fruit? Holy seed. So everywhere your fruit falls and seed lands, it produces the same kind of fruit. It's inevitable. And whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will have what you ask for if you don't doubt. So I have relatives now that are outside that don't believe, that persecute me, prayed for me to get out of hell, and now I'm old enough and understand enough to walk like Jesus, and I need to find balance. Right, I'm talking personal stuff because all of us have relatives that aren't completely on page. And if you don't, I need to know like where you come from, what's going on. Because we, all of us have some people that just don't understand, right? They're like, but what if your life had nothing to point the finger at except for being naturally supernatural? What kind of fruit would you produce if you're naturally supernatural? Amazing fruit. Is God well pleased that you bear much fruit? Yes. And that your fruit remain. I want to tell you that much more than the fruit remaining on your branches is the fruit remaining everywhere you go. And the seed is in the fruit. So what we do is, what I'm to do is, God said, I'm raising you up to kick people out of the boat. Because it's a hearing and doing gospel. So now God's raising me up to kick people out of the boat. I know what I'm capable of in the natural. I destroyed lives, but now I'm not natural anymore. I'm naturally supernatural. I'm to where God has wanted us to be from the beginning. So now it's on. Jesus said to the disciples, look guys, I'm going to be taken away. It's going to be better for you that I go. They couldn't understand that. They didn't have a grid for that. He actually told them that you won't have an orphan spirit. And there's a lot of talk about an orphan spirit. Oh, I have an orphan spirit. Man, read your Bible. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. It's not about how you feel. See, listen. In the world, before you came into Christ, you were governed by your feelings. You were a feeler. That was the way that we lived. We felt, and therefore we were. In the believer priesthood, you're governed by belief. You can't consider it completely joy when you face various trials, because the trials hurt. That doesn't produce joy. But if you look at the outcome of trial, perseverance, character, hope, you can look at the trial and say, this is going to be awesome. Hope is coming. But without the renewed mind, you can't. You'll walk by feelings and you will be destroyed. Don't limit to your life as a feeler. Be very careful. Because we were governed by emotions, governed by feelings. And a lot of times, well, I feel. You're in trouble. Because Satan will pound you and stomp you if you feel, you feel, you feel. This isn't about the just live by faith. Come on, we move from faith to faith. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. For in it's the power of God unto salvation for them that believe. Yes? Romans 1:16. This is powerful, guys. We've got to get this. Oh. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. The Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. For as it is written, the just shall live by feelings. See, if you live by feelings, you can't be unashamed of the gospel. If you're dominated by feelings, you can't walk the gospel out. You're touchy-feely, you'll be destroyed. I'm sure Dan has hit this thing and pounded this thing. Because a lot of people are living by manifestation and living by whether God's there or not. Knock it off. Don't limit God to your feelings. Don't do it. Man, I've been whacked and blasted by God, man. I've been stomped on. But be very careful about being moved by your emotions instead of by faith. People are destroyed in that place. I see more destruction in that place than any. I really do. Well, I know that's what God said, but I keep feeling. Right there's a big clue. I know that's what God said, but it's a devil. I know that's what God says, but devil. Yeah, but what if you be careful? Yeah.
Can I say something? I've been a Christian since I was 4 years old, and my feelings, my lack of not seeing, held me in a prison for 40 years.
Right on. Thank God you're free. Thank God you're free. There is no prison. There is no prison now. Your eyes are open. Your ears are open. You see and hear. Now the process of doing is on you so that it never touches you again. That's where it is. So thank God you're past that. That's awesome. I love to hear that. That's so good. Are we okay? Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
So that seed that Dan placed in my heart, that seed, and that other people watered, Jack Cashman, Tom Medwin, all that, it just watered. By the way, did I tell you Tom moved? Okay, he's in Florida. Yeah, he went down there to start another church down there. Sorry, I'm scattered on that one. He just left Monday, I think. Yeah. Tom Medwin was a worship leader from YCF that I knew and was close with, and he went to start his new venture in a youth pastor worship leader, which is where God's called him to be, and from the beginning. Yeah. So by Dan sowing seed of righteousness into me and sowing seed of my worth, like when I left Teen Challenge 2 months later, when I left the program 10 months early, all kinds of people told me, I'll never be anything, you quit everything, it's never going to happen, you know, you're this, you're that. It's not, even people that were in the church that were cracking on me saying, you're never going to make it. But I had the encounter with Jesus. I had it. And when I called Dan from Teen Challenge and called him and said, dude, I need you to come pick me up. He said, Todd, is this God? I said, I met Jesus. He said, I'm on my way. And all Dan kept saying on the way home was my worth, why I was going to make it, why I was going to succeed, why it didn't matter what other people thought, and why God said.
Yes.
But God said. but God said, right? So now my whole life is geared towards, but God said. And he never ever told me what I couldn't do. He always told me what I was capable of. He always told me what was available. He was watering seed and watering seed and watering seed. See, my thing, this school, what it's going to do in you is it's going to make you like an oak of righteousness. It's going to make you an oak to where the acorns on your tree, when they fall from your tree, that it doesn't matter what buries them. It doesn't even matter if a fox tries to get them.
Right.
Wherever the fox would lay that thing is going to land in someone's life and reproduce the Christ in them that's in you. This is all about multiplication. This is all about you multiplying Christ in you. You making many sons. Bringing people to sonship and understanding of who they really are. So what the world says doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter. Man, the world is going to try to quench and squeeze and stop this. The church is going to try to quench and squeeze and stop this. Don't rebuke a religious spirit. Don't come against the church. You be a tree of righteousness and let your fruit bear witness of who you really are. Don't make fun of the church or beat up God's baby. Be very careful. It's his girl. The only reason people believe what they have is because they haven't had somebody walk out the truth in their life. Because traditional teaching, we've taken on the way that seems right to a man. And we've brought it into the gospel and we've integrated it in because Satan wants to water down the gospel, make it just a little belief system and make the church look more ugly than the world. And then the divorce rate in the church, it looks uglier than the world. So the first place he attacks is the marriage, man. He tries to attack that. So you have to not be unwise to the way that he does this thing. You have to be wise under the tactics of the enemy. Look, he's a roaring lion. He prowls around looking for whom he can devour. When you look at a lion and you look at their attack strategies, they always look for one that strayed from the pack. They always take him down. That doesn't mean that if I go out preaching in evangelism or in whatever, and I go out there and I teach that a lion's looking for me. No, I'm always in union with the body. Always in union. You perfect me, Deb. You perfect me. Do you understand that I grow because of you? You perfect me. I need you. I feel it's something that's lost, but it's something that God's bringing back. I need you, Pam. I need you. I need you, bro. See, we need each other. I don't need you so that I can be right with God. I'm right with God because righteousness is foundational. But I need you so that we can grow together and knit together and be the body and be family and thump the enemy. I don't need you to be right with God because I'm right with God. I can be right with God in my own person, in my own being. I'm right with God because he paid a price for me. I've sought the righteousness of God first and foundationally. Therefore, I am a tree, the planting of the Lord. Now, I'm a tree. Now, I need you. I'm perfect when you hang out with me. I'm perfect when I'm around you. So we've got to start thinking this way. It'll bring this thing back to a unity of faith, man. Jesus isn't coming back till the body of Christ is in direct proportion to the head. He's not coming back until the body looks like the head. Come on, Jesus is coming back. Jesus, yes, it's true. He is coming back. I'm not in denial of that at all. I know he's coming back. That's not my prayer. Our mission is to thump hell right now. Our destiny is to get to heaven, but our mission is to thump hell. But thumping hell is crushing disunity that's in the body too. There's power in that. There is. Because what if we started to walk in that place? What if our life was completely transparent with our brothers and sisters? What if this group right here, even this small group right here, this class, what if we were all family? What if it was way more than just a class? What if you were, I don't even understand what this looks like completely, but I'm telling you that I'm growing in it and it's birth. I went to a church out in Washington and I was telling Pastor Don, I've never ever seen a kingdom family like I saw. It moved my heart in such a way. I've never seen unity like I see at this church. Ever. And he's raised him up in righteousness and identity and has solid, solid son's new creation reality. And he's been, and they've been hitting and pounding this thing for 8 years. And everybody in the church is one. It's ridiculous. And there's got to be a power in that place right there. And we've got to get this thing. Because I've just never seen it. They don't have any paid employees except for the pastor and the associate pastor. And they have about 350 people that just volunteer for everything. It's not 10% of the people that do 100% of the work. It's like 90% of the people. I've never seen that. I'm freaked out by it. We need to see it, right? Do you have something?
If you were here Sunday morning, in the middle of worship, we just stopped for a minute. Remember that there were three people singing on the platform? Because we hadn't had that before, and Randy had another guy with him named Earl. So it was Earl and Vicky and Randy that were singing. And the Lord spoke to my heart real clear because they were singing a three-part harmony. And they quit playing any of the music, and they just started singing. But it was beautiful. The harmony was incredible. And the Lord spoke and said, that's what I want my body to look like.
Come on.
That there might be a unity and a harmony in that. That word harmony was really hidden. It was rising up. And we just stopped and actually prayed over that. But it's exactly what you're talking about. And that looks beautiful. And if you can see that, because Todd said, I don't even know what that looks like. But here's something I heard him saying is that when everybody was telling him why he shouldn't leave Teen Challenge and why he won't make it and why he can't make it, one man with the heart of the Father comes along and says, yes, you can.
Yes,
because God says you can.
Yes.
And he's actually pulling the gold out. And it's a culture of honor. I'm actually on the phone with Bethel downstairs because of Danny Silk coming. And I'm very excited about that. But is it coming? We're working on it. We're this close.
You need to do me a favor. Tell him that the guy that had lunch with him at Olive Garden, that you're his pastor. Now I'm not trying to pull a string. I established a real close relationship with Danny. I can call him and talk to him.
We'll work on that too. He's going to be coming in May for the global school, and while he's there, we're going to have him here.
Yeah,
we're trying to. The secretary and I talked about a half hour yesterday. She likes me now. It's good. Get to their secretary, okay? But in the process of that, just think about that. Because he authored a book called Culture of Honor.
Yes.
And that's what it looks like.
Yes.
And that's amazing to me that we can see that. Because it's so where his heart is. And when he touches Sharon's heart, you can hear God's heart right in the middle of that.
Amen.
And what he's saying is, we established that here. Imagine the ripple effect.
Oh, yeah.
Because if Jesus can do it with 12, we got 50.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly. But I see it's so hard to find.
It is.
To see that kind of unity, it's just like we're talking about out in Washington. It has to happen. It has to become because it's the will, the plan, and the purpose of heaven. That you don't go to a church and find that strange, that one day we can actually go to a church where we don't find that thing
right.
Strange.
Right. Like now we pray for the sick and it's weird when they're not healed. Like it would be weird when we go to a church and it's not there.
Exactly.
So what I've learned is that in my life, in going from church to church now, because like I come to Harvest and I'm really glad and I get to like just associate and fellowship, and I have my wife and my family, and I have a couple of days where I'm home. So it needs to be the tight knit family. You know, it just needs to. I actually was like, man, I love when Zoe comes into bed in the morning and she crawls up on Dad. And when I come here to school, I don't get that. And so it's two of the days, and I'm not complaining. I'm saying to my wife, I said, man, I really miss this. Like Zoe coming up into bed and crawling on me and saying, hi, Daddy, I love you, good morning. And so, like, I long for that. You know what I mean? So that's a big thing. But this is very important to establish culture in our life. But I've learned that every church that I go to, this is what I've been doing since the beginning of my travels, is going there and bringing the bodies together where I'm going. And so what I did was I saw a church where they're already like that. And it freaked me out. It did, because it was more than what I was used to. But it shows me that it's available.
How did you know they were like that? And how many days were you there?
I tell them, Des. Go ahead.
Well, everybody was just
really nice there. Like, when new people come to church, some people kind of back away, but they automatically just came up to you and, like, hugged you. And...
Oh, it's a completely different world. This is the second time I was back there. Like, let me give you an instance. Let me give you just an example, and this will pretty much spell it. A buddy of mine, Christopher, they went out on, he asked me if I could go with him because they were going out Saturday night. They were going down to Portland, down to the city. And they would go under bridges and they would visit the homeless and just visit and just love on these homeless. Well, they brought someone back with them that night. The kid's name was Philip. He'd been out there. He's homeless and stuff. He's a young kid. And, they brought him back and he's at church the next morning. And I shared on redemption, shared on righteousness, and which is like, and he's like, just on fire for God. Brand new. He had a huge tumor on his back that God, we prayed for him and God melted that thing right off his back, amen. Man. But that's powerful. But here, listen. They have a supernatural school that they do every year. And it's going to start, I believe it's going to start in January. They start a late school and it goes January, February, March, April, May. And it's for those 4 months. And I said, listen, it's on my heart to just pay for a school. Cause so I just said, I'm going to pay for your school, Philip. You're going to school. He goes, I want to go to school. Like, he's brand new, dude. Like, one day. Someone came up to me after service and said, Todd, you can't pay for a school because God already put it on my heart to pay for a school. He's living with Chris and Chelsea, like these people, Christopher and Chelsea. There is a ballot, so to speak, of who can have Philip, of who can have Philip stay at their house. Because the church is competing for who can have him stay with them. It's ridiculous. See, see, that's powerful. They're like, no, I want him. No, we want him. No, we want him. No, we want him. No, we want this brand new believer to stay in our house, this drug addict. We want him to come in our house because he's not a drug addict anymore. He's a son. We want to love him. No, let us love him. Okay, you have him this day, and then we get him this day. That's crazy. That's crazy. No, no, we want him. No, no, I got Friday. You can have Saturday. But they got Saturday. Okay. Can you guys at least come over to dinner so we can all hang out? And that's how they're doing it. That's powerful. But that is normal. Anything outside of that is not normal. Because that's supernatural. That's naturally supernatural. It's another facet of the king. So we can seek the kingdom but not seek family, but we can bring them both together and it can be the whole picture. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I've been born again for 10 years, but this is the first church that has approached what you're talking about.
Right.
You, Dan, Don, everybody in here has pretty much loved on me from the day I came in.
Right on. I think it's awesome, man.
And that just blew me away because...
That's awesome.
Having sympathy for me. They were just loving me like a son.
Right on. How many of you are not from this church? Now, okay. Now imagine this seed going back to wherever you go and this producing forests in the place that you're at. This is powerful. Amen. We get it? We on? Like we're on page right now? Do you guys need to use the bathroom? You okay? Go ahead. You have one more.
Pastor Don was talking about the beauty of the harmony, voices blending like that. The Spirit gave me a thought. It's something I come to find out here long ago. I like to hear like Mennonite and Amish singers. They sing so beautifully. It's just a beautiful, beautiful sound. They always sing a cappella, and so it's just voices singing worship. And I found out through listening to some of that, that the Amish and Mennonite, if you ask them, they don't sing in harmony. They don't sing with an effort to try to
blend.
Help one another. They blend. They blend in the worship of God because they want
to.
That's beautiful.
That's awesome. That's good. Why don't you guys use the bathroom and come back in 15 minutes, or how long do you do? 10? 15? 15. 15 will be good. Come back at 20 of.